gonna call the meeting to order with the pledge.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Board president comments. The only thing that I'm gonna start this meeting off with today, this evening, is to say so glad to be in person, socially distanced, masked and everything. Although the virtual was kind of fun, you know, it was fun like the first couple of times it got old. And it was hot, it was hard when you're trying to conduct a meeting and take voting because there's a delay and some of us have better internet service than others, and it was just too hard for everybody to be away from everyone. So I'm glad that everyone is back. Okay. Any other board comments? Board member comments? Okay. We'll move on to the public comments.
Thanks, Roxanne. And I agree, it's nice to be back in person. Definitely would have been easier to participate in a meeting and while sitting around the table together. What I want to do is just, there's been a bevy of information that's been coming out over the past handful of days in regard to plans and planning for return to school for 2021. Just real briefly, the governor has indicated to school districts throughout the state that we need to have our plans submitted to the state by July 31st. And he will make the ultimate determination depending upon metrics that have been set, whether or not we are going to be allowed to open as a region on or about August 1st. So best laid plans, we could have an outstanding plan ready to roll and be told on August 6th that we're not opening, or be told the day before we're supposed to open that we're not opening. With that said, I feel like, I don't know how I feel anymore, but at any rate, it's been a process. Last week I received a 147-page guidance document from the State Education Department that I curled up with at night and summarized it down to about 7 pages. Here's where we're at. This is what we know right now. We know that to bring the students back into the classrooms, we have to have 6-foot social distancing unless there is a barrier. A barrier would consist of basically a little study carrel around the individual children that cannot be made of plexiglass because plexiglass can melt. It has to be made of like a Lexan, which is very expensive. So we would be looking at the expenditure of about $28 per unit per student if we were to do something like that. And the only time that that offers a barrier is if the student is at their desk leaning forward and they're inside of it. The minute the student leans back and there's a neighbor next to them, they're no longer socially distanced and we have issues. So with that said, we have gone through and we have measured every single space where students and or human bodies can go in both of our buildings. We've put together a rubric basically consisting of the number of students and the square footage of each and every classroom. The average number of people we can put in any given space, with the exception of large spaces like this one, would be 10 to 12 students plus a teacher. Okay? So that is the requirements that we're stuck with right now. Our other issue that we're facing is we are a double trip district. So our high school starts at 7:30, our elementary starts at 9. School districts that are single trip districts may be able to send their buses out a second time to pick up students. We can't do that because of the timeliness of our runs and the amount of time that our buses are already out. So on a 66 passenger bus, I can put 22 kids socially distanced. We can put one kid in each seat all the way next to the windows to keep them 6 foot apart. We can put siblings in the same seat. However, if I put siblings in the same seat, I cannot use the seat across because it's less than 6 foot. So there's no net gain. That said, what we are looking at potentially doing at this point would be an 8-day schedule with our students for a return. because we cannot get the students back safely on the buses. And if we, even if we could get them all back, we don't have space to socially distance them in school with the number of staff that would be required to teach. For example, Judy has been feverishly working on a couple of different ways to look at this for me. And at the elementary school, we could potentially bring in every single child every single day if we used every single space available in the elementary school. However, we have a finite number of teaching staff to provide those services and stand in front of each of those cohorts of students in every single space in the building. We already struggle getting substitutes here. The minute we have any absences of teachers or staff, we have cohorts of students that have no instructor and they're sitting staring at us at school. In addition, we would have to take some of our teachers and limit what they are going to be able to teach. Kindergarten, for instance, is not a required program. We would have to take those kindergarten teachers and utilize them to teach other grade levels, which means eliminating a portion of kindergarten. Doing the same thing to UPK. In my opinion, that's not good practice because that's where so much of our early literacy comes from. So at this point, we are working very hard to try to pull together a plan that's going to make sense for the district. And the likelihood is it will be a program where we offer a portion of our instruction in person and a portion of our instruction digitally at the same time that the instruction is being provided within the classroom. So another requirement here is between cohorts of students, we have to do a deep clean of the district, which means every spot that students touch on a regular basis would need to be deep cleaned, not just, you know, squirted and wiped down. It would have to be deep cleaned. Because that's the case, we are looking at Monday being an A day, Tuesday being an A day, Wednesday being the day where most all of our students would be instructed solely from home, and then Thursday and Friday would be B days. However, those B students that are not here on Mondays and Tuesdays would log in at the same time they normally would be here and see and participate in the instruction that's occurring within the classrooms. So the same thing would occur at the high school, you know, history classes, whatever it would be, whatever the students schedule would be, they would follow the exact same schedule whether they're here or home. If they're home, they'd be following that schedule on their computer screen. The teachers would be able to see the students, students would be able to see the teachers, they would be able to hear one another and be able to participate in those lessons. Is it the best case scenario? No, it's not. I cannot provide the best case scenario, which is all students here every day in their classrooms with their teachers. There will be people that will not be happy with this. Understand, I am not happy with this. We're put in an untenable position by the governor's office, by the Department of Health, and by the New York State Education Department, the guidance and lack thereof in many areas that we're being faced with trying to interpret and put into place. So that's kind of what we're looking at right now. Ethan, Judy, Kate, myself, Penny have been working extremely hard to try to get a plan together that's going to make sense. I've started putting some surveys out to parents to gather some information so that we have a group of parents that could drive their children in and not have to rely on the buses, which would enable us to get maybe some more kids here. We're looking at, are there parents that are at this point not going to send their children back until there's immunization? Are there parents that are just as happy keeping their kids at home full time? Until, you know, we're back to normal, all those things will help us guide what we're able to do and how we're able to do it. I cannot provide any definitive answers right now, and I also cannot provide any definitive recommendations right now until we have more information. But I wanted to let everybody here know that that's kind of the slant we're taking at this point, given the guidance that we've received and some of the hoops that we're trying to jump. Our primary goal is and will always be student safety, and that's something we're focusing on right now. So as I have additional information, I will provide it. I would encourage people that have questions or concerns in the community to reach out to their administrators or myself. and will answer whatever we are physically and cognitively able to answer at this point in time. That was depressing, I'm sorry.
It is. I have a couple of questions just in regards to that, what the CDC guidelines are, what you're looking at right now. So we're in A group and B group, and A group comes to school, and then we have a symptomatic child. What do we do with that? I mean, obviously, we're going to send that symptomatic child home, but what about coming back to school A group on Tuesday?
A group's not coming back to school. Contact tracing needs to be done by the county health department, so that would be undertaken. Those students that have direct contact would need to be tested and quarantined. Buildings and ground staff would need to do a deep clean of those spaces. The prior guidance was 48 hours. I heard that they may be looking at 24 hours before able to reopen. But that's where we're at right now.
And in regards to direct contact, that's going to be the whole classroom, correct?
It's a very good possibility. It depends how and what they say in regard to contact tracing and stuff.
Okay. And then if we have a COVID case, test positive.
That's what I was mentioning. Sorry. That was COVID. That's how that
Oh, that's the test positive.
That's
so what if we have a student in, you know, one of the classrooms in kindergarten that comes in and, you know, they're in school and they develop a fever or whatever.
That student immediately goes to the nursing, gets sent home. We are maintaining records in all of our classes who's there on what day, so that if that student does test positive for COVID, the contact tracing can be completed. Each evening, all of the spaces will be cleaned, but won't be cleaned.
Okay.
So there's a lot of really interesting variables that are out there right now that we don't have all the answers to. our issue is really the number of teachers, professional staff we have to get in front of kids with the finite number of students we can actually put in front of the individual teachers.
And I think I can speak for the board here to say thank you to Ethan and Penny and Judy and Kate and Pat, wherever everyone is involved. I mean, it's from admin to custodial staff to everyone. Thank you. It's not something that's any of us really have an answer to or a solution, so thank you.
Each day, students get on the bus. students getting on the bus have to have a mask to get on. If they don't have a mask, we will need to provide it. Because we can't send a student away from the bus once they're there, they have to be able to get on and come to school. So we provide them a mask when they come. We are being told that we're being asked. I'm being told that parents provide an attestation each day that their children have had their temperature taken and are below 100. So we're coming up with some little slips that children can come in, and if that's been done, those who don't have it, we will need to screen here at school. There's a series of four questions that need to be asked of every faculty member who also needs to have their temperature taken when they get here and respond to those questions as well. So it's going to be a different world in September. We are where we are, and we're going to do a good job with what we've been down.
And do we have PPP available for everyone?
We purchased 7,000 disposable masks. That should last us a couple of weeks.
I was going to say, elementary, no postage.
So, ultimately, we're going to ask families. Families to provide masks for their children each day. Similar, you buy masks like you buy socks. So we're going to ask that families send in a mask and a fresh, clean mask as well each day. So that in the event that there's an issue, they have a backup. We will also have the necessary PPP here. Kate and Penny have been doing a really nice job making sure that they're placing orders for masks, for hand sanitizers, for gloves, for those sorts of things that, God forbid, there should be another outbreak, they're going to be difficult to get our hands on. We're pre-planning and getting ready for those things. In addition, we have worked with Signature Studios in Glens Falls to have a series of basically informational signs for all throughout the building, buildings, in regard to what needs to be done with social distancing, done a lot of legwork. We still have a lot to go and not a lot of time to get done.
On your last question and your survey in regards to the Wi-Fi, do you think there are some of your students that are going to say, I have no access to the internet?
Yes. We know that's the case, George. What we did last year was those students that didn't have reliable or didn't have access at home, we did packet bundles for those students, which meant that the teachers put together packets. They received no direct instruction from teachers. They got a packet at home. They worked on it at home. That is far from where we want to be. We're hopeful. I've had a couple of conversations with Dan Steck. I had a conversation a couple of days ago with Elise Stefanik. I've spoken with Betty Little's office. They're talking about the possibility of, I think they used the term cows, to place in some of the areas that don't have Wi-Fi connectivity, don't have internet capability on phones. So if there's no phone service in a given area, they can put up a tower to get phone service. And if that happens, there's the possibility that the family can get, or we can somehow come up with their little hotspots, basically to come on the phone that a family can power their computer on and gain internet access. So these are all things that we're investigating. We know we had 30 plus, I think, at the high school.
Yeah.
That did not have service or, you know, good service this past year. Judy, I'm going to guess, probably give or take the same.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because our K-1 didn't bring our problem home. It's really difficult to teach kindergarten and first grade.
Another thing that we're learning, that we're looking at doing, if we have ample space on buses, if there are families that simply do not have the ability to access Wi-Fi, I'd like to be able to bring those students in if we can fit them on the buses and put them in a common space where they can watch, at least participate in the instruction that's going on in classes on the days that they're not in their classes. So we're looking at a lot of alternatives. Much of this is going to come from that preliminary survey that I've sent out to try to garner some information from families. I will be sending out additional surveys and questionnaires. The main offices will be contacting families to get information as well once we start rolling this data.
How are you going to coordinate the sanitizing the buses between runs without impacting start times or end times for the day?
It's definitely going to be a challenge. One of the things we know we're going to have to do, we have to load buses from the back to the front. They have to exit from the front to the rear, and we're going to have assigned seats on the buses so we know who's where in the event that someone gets sick. We do have little atomizer spray machines right now that we can use to get in there and spray the buses between runs that is sufficient. But for the deep cleaning, there's going to be, you know, rags and things being knocked down in the runs there. It's going to be a real challenge.
And some students ride the bus one day and then get dropped off a different day.
What we're trying to do is have something consistent because I need to know how many seats I have on a bus. I want to maximize the number of students mm-hmm. we can get here with the staff we have. I would hate to have eight kids too few in class.
Yeah. My only thought is like give two locate say somebody in that one house part of the week and then another house part of the week. That bus can have a child, one more child at the beginning of the week.
The other thing we're going to have to deal with is we're not going to do the one house, one half, one the other house, the other half.
Is that okay?
We're going to have parents identify where the students are. There'll be one pickup location, a drop-off location, because we have to. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's no way we're going to be able to get students to school for picking up and dropping off all of the creation. There's going to be some onus on the parents to get students mm-hmm. to a logical location. In addition, we're also going to be responsible for providing meals, yet again. To students, I do not believe that we're going to have the capability to drive them all throughout the communities we have in the past. We will likely do pickup spots here and on campus, so families wish to participate will be able to come pick up their meals here as well. Had enough?
It's a lot, but it's not.
That's just our
somewhere
mind.
It's dropped.
There's no point in questions. It'll change on
Thank you again. Go ahead.
That's all I have.
That's all you have?
I have 7 or 8 more pages, but that's sufficient for now.
We're good.
Because, well, you know, what I'm doing at this point is I am surmising how things are going to go. It may not work this way. You may get new guidance tomorrow that completely upends everything that we're planning. So, you know, this is going to be a living, breathing document, and it's going to be a living, breathing year on how we do things. We're going to need people to roll the punches, and people to get angry on social media are going to need to take a deep breath, because we're going to do the best we can do to educate all students in Whitehall.
Board and staff reports, Mr. D.
Okay, I'd like to recommend the board take action to approve the treasurer's report and staff reports listed, bank recs, bills for payment, budget status reports, revenue status reports, budget transfers, extracurricular reports. Kate, anything to add?
No, this is for May, June. We're still closing out June, so August. Yeah, August. You should see the June.
Okay. We have a motion to approve those reports. Thank you. Thank you. Ken, you're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carrie. Items requiring board action.
I would like to recommend the board take action to approve the minutes of June 15. As well as our July 7 reorg.
Do you have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Approval of, we did the approval of CSE as well.
I'd like to recommend the board take action to approve the CSE CPSE minutes of April 23, 24, 28, 29, May 5, 7, 12, 14, 19, 29, and July 8.
We have a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Resignations.
With great thanks, I'd like to recommend the board take action to approve the resignation for the purpose of retirement of Mr. Colin Carswell, effective September 22 of 2020.
Do we have a motion to approve that resignation?
So moved.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
How many years did he have in the district? I know, I should have looked at that. Kim, do you have that in front of you?
I don't. I'm
28. 28 years,
thank you. Oh,
exactly.
Retired.
Thank you. Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Appointments. Does anyone have a problem with doing these all together?
Nope.
Good. Okay.
All right. I'm going to do a couple of them separate because we've got some folks sitting here.
Okay.
So the first one I would like to recommend is Mrs. Julie Newmar to the position of Director of Special Education. She will be an administrator here in the district, terms and conditions, and we'll be starting her at the $75,000 salary, moving to 80 if we're ever out of COVID, and she has the opportunity to take her tests. So Julie's sitting up there in the back, we're all masked up.
Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Congratulations.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
Careful what you wish for. All right, I'd also like to recommend the Board of Education to appoint Penny Hollister to the position of account clerk, effective now, with the new salary listed. Penny is going to be taking additional new responsibilities, both the buildings and grounds, as well as being head of the radio at the bus garage and taking care of all of our
position?
So moved.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carrie, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Did you say she's going to be in charge of the radios?
Oh, no, what?
We're going to save on radios.
I might want to apply for a substitute bus driver.
Hired.
Hired.
You're hired.
You won't need a...
You want to drive a bus, you just come on in tomorrow.
I just want to hear Mrs. Hollister on the radio.
You don't need to hear her on the radio.
Not to not begin.
David says she makes a lot of noise.
That's one way to frame it. One way to frame it's a lot of noise.
That's right. Thanks, Fanny.
I'm done already.
Okay, the last person we have present is Taylor Morgan. It gives me the pleasure to recommend her appointment with a 26-week probationary appointment to be our new elementary nurse, effective September 1st, 2020. Welcome to COVID.
We have a motion to accept that recommendation for Taylor.
So moved.
Okay, we have a first, I think, Mr. Barber and Mrs. Norton, you want second?
Sure.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carrie.
All right.
Welcome.
Welcome. I'd like to recommend Mickey Covey, the position of teacher aid bus aide, effective June 17, 2020, compensated at the rate shown. I'd like to recommend Mrs. Kathleen Pate, the position of substitute teacher, to fill maternity leave of absence of Amanda Rodriguez, effective on or about September 10 until on or about November 5. I'd also like to recommend Sherry Cummings to complete her mentoring, full year mentoring experience for Lexi Parker, who is a teacher at the elementary school. And then some professional development. I'd like to recommend the teachers Karen Short, John Mead, Liz Lane, Robin Melton, and Sarah Haley to participate in utilizing the roadmap to adjust your curriculum. Considerations of intervention and gathering evidence of learning. We'd also like to recommend substitute appointments of the following individuals: Mary Ellen Ellis as a substitute bus cleaner, Tracy Ellis as a substitute bus cleaner, Megan Ellis as a sub bus cleaner. And lastly, to continue the services of Mr. Pete Casertino, who has been our special patrol officer last year through Washington County, continuing that salary and payment to the county by $40,000.
Do we have a motion to accept those recommendations?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Tom. Second, Mr. Baker. Any discussion on those? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carrie, thank you. CSEA contract extension.
We started our CSEA contract negotiations last year and we're making great progress, and then COVID. And as a result, what ended up occurring is schools throughout the state are with a very big unknown with the amount of money that's going to be reduced from our state and federal aid. So we continue conversations with Penny and per unit. In regard to simply extending the contract one additional year, with terms and conditions to continue out that additional year. And hopefully, throughout the course of this school year, we'll be able to start negotiations over again and move forward with a package that makes sense for both CSEA as well as the district.
So, do we have a motion to extend that contract?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. LaChapelle. Do I have a second?
Second. Mrs. Norton.
Okay, Mrs. Norton. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carrie.
And I would like to say thank you to Penny for your willingness to work with us on this. It was definitely a chaotic process that we went through. But Penny, while always advocating for the folks in CSEA, recognizes the challenges that are faced here by the school district and communicated those challenges. Well, through the
constituents of CHOPS at this point, so thank you.
Well, we'd like to thank you as well. Thank you all for your support. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, capital project change order resolution.
I would like to recommend the board take action to approve language which would enable me to approve change orders to the building project in the amount not to exceed $30,000. So again, what we'll do would be in the event that something comes up, I would notify the Board of Education that we have a change forthcoming. This is why, this is what needs to be done. And what that enables these contractors to do is to move forward with the work, get the approvals that are necessary without waiting sometimes up to a full month for the next meeting. Again, those changes would not occur without my communication with the Board of Education. It would not surprise you. And I'm also not putting a hot tub in anywhere. So we're going to be as responsible as possible.
Do we have a motion to approve that change order?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Barber. Second?
Second.
Mr. LaChapelle, thank you. Any discussion?
I just have a quick question I forgot to ask you. Is that an aggregate total, or is it a one time each time that
it's a per instance.
It's per instance.
Yes.
Okay. So you have that discretion if you
have potentially hit 30 real quick.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So that was my question. I'm like, that seems okay.
That was my question when we were talking.
I forgot to ask.
Yeah.
Did you ask that and I wasn't listening?
Well, like, it was a sidebar with Frank.
Sorry.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. TBS revision.
We are looking for approval for the TBS revision, which totals $421,039 to include performance and payments payment bonds. Would you like to add anything to?
No, the initial proposal that Tetra Tech provided did not include the performance. They had them listed as the wrong kind of bond, so didn't think we needed them. But these are to make sure they have to buy bonds to make sure that we get the payments. So it's like insurance, but it is an add-on. It was an alternate to the contract, so it just corrects that initial, and it's very important to have.
We have a motion to approve that.
So moved.
Mr. Baker, second. Mr. Armstrong, any discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. HT Trust Resolution.
There has been a tax certiorari matter pending with the district for multiple years in regard to Tall Trust. Unfortunately, the estimates on the value of the property came in much lower than the assessor had assessed the property at, resulting in a payment by the school district back to the trust in excess of $160,000. So we are asking for approval based on the recommendations from our school attorneys to approve said payment back for the tax cert matter.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Martin. Second?
Second.
It was.
Mr. Barber, the second. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. MTI proposal.
We have a proposal as chaired in your packet and regarding to the mechanical commissioning of our HVAC system. This includes balancing of the heat and the air conditioning units. Based on square footage and running volume of the new HVACs, so it's just a portion of the contract that needs to be approved in this organization.
We have a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Barber. Second?
Second.
Mr. LaChapelle, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Here. Thank you. CME proposal.
I would like to recommend board take action to approve the CME proposal. It's again a great deal of testing, compaction rate of cement, drainage, those sorts of things that are done by the engineers that need to come in and test all of these things to make the State Education Department happy.
We have a motion to approve the CME proposal.
So moved.
Mr. LaChapelle, thank you. Second? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Privacy policy and security.
All right, this is our third month with the privacy policy and security and parents' bill of rights on the agenda. That said, I'm sure you've all had the opportunity to read it multiple times, and we are seeking your approval this evening, as it's now the third reading.
And we have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Mr. Barber, do you have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. Any discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Disposal.
We have a series of items that are no longer functioning, broken, damaged, that have been determined are not worth putting out to auction for Auctions International. We're seeking the ability to discard a two-drawer filing cabinet, 10 four-drawer filing cabinets, another two five-drawer cabinets, two old, heavy voting machines, those old steel lever, damaged wood bookshelves, and four broken teacher desks.
We have a motion to approve those disposals.
So moved.
Mr. Barber, second by Mrs. Norton. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. OAC note.
Just an item of information. You all received in your email from me this week notes from our architects in regard to where we are with the building project. We are going to ask for similar notes, photographs, issues, those sorts of things, how progress is coming along, so that the board can be updated monthly. I just wanted to check and see if that met your needs or if you're looking for anything more or different.
I thought it was great.
I love the pictures. And this, I'm seeing that the access is public, so
yes.
People can see that on the website. Okay, great. I think that would be really helpful that the district can see what's going on.
Yeah.
How often did you say they're doing this?
Every month.
Every
monthly
month.
Update. Yeah. So you'll see that over the next year and a half as the project continues to move.
That's great.
Okay, we have a motion to approve those.
No, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Frank. We're up to visitors' comments. Do we have any comments from our visitors? Okay. So we'll adjourn, correct?
Yes,
go
motion,
into,
yep.
Yeah. Okay. We are going to go into executive session, but there will be no decisions made. So we are going to adjourn our public meeting. We have a.
You just sort of want a motion to go into.
We're going to take a motion to go into executive session for the medical, financial, credit, or employment history of a particular person or corporation or matters leading to an appointment, employment, promotion, demotion, discipline, suspension, dismissal, or removal of a particular person or corporation. We have a motion.
So moved. So moved.
Mr. Baker, I think, and Mrs. Norton was
yes.
Second. Thank you.
Unanimous.
And we do need a motion to adjourn public.
No, we're going to come back.
No, we're
going to
come back.
I'm
sorry.
So you're good. No, you just, need to,
so,
you just need to get a vote on going into executive.
Okay. A vote
so you have a
to
motion
go
in a
into executive.
Yep.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.